World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I feel a little bit guilty here this morning because I didn't tell you guys that we were going to broadcast on July 4th. But I figured that you old timers have been in here a long time know that we don't take any days off here. We don't take on no holidays off. Spencer's happy. He probably gets double time for coming in here this morning. And it's not a theme show. No, it's not going to be a proud to be an American show. It's July 4th. Had a great time last night. Took all 10 of our grandchildren. No, that's wrong, Coach. They were all there at one point. Ended up with 8 of them going, sitting up on the hill and watching the fireworks out over Buckeye Lake. And so that was a great experience. Got to bed late, almost 11 o'clock before I got to bed, which to me is like 4 in the morning. But it's all good. It's all good. Big news this morning. I want to welcome, for the first time ever, the Brideon audience is now joining us live all across the Brideon network. And that happened because of the work of our producer, Spencer, who this change is going on at Brideon. And those of you who watch know that on Mondays, I'd sometimes would do a dual show. In other words, I would cut this show, morning show up and rebroadcast it on the Brideon audience. And things are changing a little bit at Brideon. And we were able to secure, they were happy for us to actually be able to secure the 7 a.m. slot every morning live now on the Brideon network. So you can share that with everybody. And again, tip of the hat to Spencer and Jared and all the guys that made that happen. So we're on Brideon, Patriot Party News, Coach Dave Live. We're out there in a lot of places, and we're going to continue to tell the truth. And I want you to know this, we're in nobody's pocket. Nobody owns us. Nobody. We don't answer to any humanly force here. Nobody. We speak the truth as the Holy Spirit gives us the unction to do it. And I don't know if you guys notice this or not. We don't do commercials here. I get people all the time say, hey, Coach Dave, if you had this guy on here, you know, you can help fund what you do. And I say, wow, yeah, I could. I've never run the first commercial here at Coach Dave Live. And we rely on the support of those of you guys that are watching it. So we appreciate all of you out there. Keep us on the air. Keep us going on. A lot of great stuff happening. Boy, I got some great stuff here this morning. So I'm glad that you decided to start the July 4th holiday with me today. And I'm going to give you some good information. First good information, pull up number one for me, Spencer. Pull up number one. Look, are you looking at me, friends? I don't know how else to say this. I'm going to say it again. We're winning. Now, hang on. The deep state Luciferian left is so deeply embedded in America, in every aspect of America. They are relentless. They never sleep. They've been taking ground and turf for probably 70 years, maybe 80 years, maybe longer than that. And those of you who are watching right now know this, that we, most of us in this queue, I don't want to say we've been recently awakened, but we're understanding more and more every day what's going on. We patriots were the greatest Americans at one point. Do y'all guys remember that? When we patriots were, we were, man. We were it. We were what made America great. And somewhere along the line, we patriots became the enemy of the state. Are you with me? You guys with me on that? How did that happen? How did God-fearing mom and pop Americans become the enemy of the American government? But it's happened. And we can either admit that or not admit that, right? And I got up on the screen right now this unbelievable picture of Dennis Green, who Dennis is the guy standing in the middle with a long beard there. Dennis Green was yesterday of the what do they call it, the Nashville 10 Let me get my phone up here. I'm sure Dale can help us out here a little bit. Let me find it. I've been sending this to everybody all week, right? That Dennis Green yesterday was sentenced to, oh my goodness. Somebody help me out here. What did he get?
Dennis got 3 years probation. The first 6 months of it are house arrest.
Did you hear that, folks? Did you hear that? First of all, let me back up a second. Are you looking at me? There is no federal access to clinics entrance law. There is no law. Why is there no law? Because there's no constitutional federal right to an abortion. You understand that? Do you understand these people have been charged under a bogus crime? And that's why so many of them struggled as to whether or not what they were going to do. Cal Zastro, what did Cal get? Dale, can you help me with that? I don't have that all in front of me right now.
Yeah, Coach, I'm ready to give you a good debriefing on this. There's a lot of things that are happening beyond the scenes.
Okay, hang on a second, Dale. I'll let you give me the debriefing. Dennis Green is in the middle with his children. Is that unbelievable? Folks, this is the kind of person that they're locking up in America. Isn't it amazing? Is really, really amazing. And Dale, you can fill us in on this, but he was facing what, maybe 20 years in jail for simply going out and trying to rescue unborn babies. Somehow, somewhere along the line, pro-lifers, Christians, God-fearing Americans became the enemy of the government. Sad to say, but that's where we are. So Dale, if you can, go ahead and give us a full update on Cal Zastro, on Dennis Green, and on Coleman Boyd. Three guys that were sentenced yesterday. More sentences coming. By the way, friends, they were facing, some of them, maybe 20 years in jail. 20 years in jail. Cal Zastro got 6 months, which Dale will talk about. But he was facing 20 years. I see it as a victory. Go ahead, Dale. Fill us in on this, will you, bud?
So all of these ones were facing, at the Tennessee level, 11 years in prison and $250,000 in fine.
By the way, Dale, it's important. Let me stop. I'm sorry. Yep. Folks, the federal government refused to prosecute this. The local government failed to prosecute this. They said there's no crime here. There's no crime here. And Merrick Garland and the Fed stepped in and said, we're going to prosecute it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a special appointed lady, Dyke, homosexual, that was appointed to press these charges a year after the judge in Tennessee threw out the state charges. So that's the groundwork for that. Second thing is they did not commit either one of those crimes on FACE Act, even in its own writing. And that's talking to a dear friend of mine who is a constitutional attorney and former FBI, knows how to gather the evidence, and he's going to be helping with the repeals case. They're all appealing these charges. So Cal's asking.
Okay, hang on a second again. Folks, what do you do when you're faced? See, this is called lawfare. Do you plead guilty to a lesser charge, hoping to not go to prison for 20 years? Do you understand that that's called lawfare? Do you understand how they do it? They overcharge you, and then they ask you to plead guilty so they can reduce the charges, and you lose, right? You lose. This is not righteous. God hates unjust weights and measures. He hates it, friends. And so this is huge. I'll shut up, Dale. This is huge that the Lord smiled on these folks this week.
Well, let me just throw that caveat real quick while it's on the top of the head. You want to talk about unjust measures. That judge continued to repeat in that courtroom to every one of these gentlemen is this: quit shoving your religious beliefs on us. This was the judge, Coach. You want to talk about unfair judge? Get that out of your mouth. That is not what you're there for. And so Cal Zastro, Cal Zastro's attorney thought he was crazy for refusing to receive a plea deal too. So everybody there, Coach, they thought, let's just go back to December. We stake that place. Yeah. The prosecution, because how that whole thing works, what is it that the prosecution was asking for? 1.5 years jail time, fines, and probation on all of these folks. That's what the prosecution was asking for. But the judge, I think God had her in a chokehold and she couldn't do it. Cal got 6 months 6 months federal prison, 3 years probation, no court fines.
He was looking at 11 years, right?
He was looking at 11 years. Coleman Boyd got 5 years probation. The first six of those are a house arrest and a $10,000 fine. And then Dennis Green yesterday, he got 3 years probation, the first 6 months of house arrest.
Randy's been doing some staking, baby. Dale, we staked this place, didn't we, Dale?
Yes, we did, Coach. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
And the good thing is that all of them went home to sleep in their beds last night, even Calzasco. They did not take him into jail. He does not have to surrender until after the Michigan case, in which he's facing 11 years up there. And
folks, if I could show you the video, which I didn't pull it up this morning, I apologize. These folks went inside. This wasn't just an abortion clinic. This was a medical building. And they went in and they sat down on the floor and they sang hymns and they prayed and they didn't obstruct anybody from doing anything. Right, Dale?
Absolutely, Coach. Absolutely.
Except they did push their religion on everybody else, right?
You mean like June? You mean like them shoving that perverseness on us? You mean humanism that's being shoved upon us? You mean that?
Yep, that's what I'm talking about. But Dale, here's what I'm telling you, friends. I'm sorry. We're winning. We are so winning. Just think about this, Dale. Think what's going on in Louisiana with the governor down there. Think what's going on in Oklahoma. Think of the wave of pushback from Christianity that we're beginning to see. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be some consequences for some of these people who've already been engaged in the battle. That doesn't mean all that stuff's going away. And that doesn't mean that the deep state, the Luciferians, aren't going to continue to try to destroy everything American. But I'm telling you, for the first time in my 20-some years in ministry, we're pushing back and we're moving the ball. The Chevron case, I got some information on. We don't have any. Let me go there, Dale. Can I cut you off there? Anything else you want
to add? No, you're good. Hey, Coach, we're contending for the faith.
Thanks for caring enough to go down there, Dale. God bless you. My wife and I felt so guilty because we should have been there. I couldn't get there. But I should have just cleared everything and go. And I just want to say publicly how much I appreciate you going down there, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, no, Coach, listen, I think that there's much to say on this. I got home when you went to bed, and so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the show, roll with it.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Okay, so, folks, he just said something that's really, really important. Pull up number 8 for me. Hey, friends, the Chevron case, which just came down. Now, look, here's what the Chevron case made. It's kind of under the radar, okay? So just hold it right there. The Chevron case said this. That government agencies cannot make rules and regulations and force it on individual citizens. This is 50-year-old law. It's a 50-year-old law. And the Supreme Court said, sorry, you cannot have the EPA tell you what you have to do. They have no authority. Are you with me, folks? They're a government agency out of control of the Congress. And they said that can't happen anymore. Are you ready for this? Here's what Coach Dave says this morning. Bye-bye, IRS.
Boom.
Bye-bye, IRS. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Okay, so rolling back the administrative state. In the United States, Congress writes perhaps 50 new laws a year. Each year, unelected bureaucrats issue 4,000 new rules. You get it? The administrative state is our master. SCOTUS has just given the means to roll back the administrative state. In 3 major rulings, SCOTUS has gutted the power of the administrative state. Number 1, removal of Chevron doctrine means that Congress must write clear laws. And unelected bureaucrats must follow the rules and follow those laws. Made up rules can be challenged in court and must be removed. When the federal government says you have to wear a mask and 6 foot distance, you can flip them off, which we already knew that, right? They have no power and authority to be able to do that. Number two, we're so winning. Number two, fines by the administrative state require a jury trial in a court. Number three, the statutes of limitations on challenging a rule, which is 6 years, starts when you are impacted by the rule, not when the rule was first introduced. Oh, my goodness. So dealing with the IRS will require Congress to write new legislation. Folks, the IRS can't come and demand your records. They can't do that. They don't have the power and authority to do that. But these three rulings mean that tens of thousands of administrative rules are now fair game for lawsuits. Let the lawsuits fly. You guys get this?
Boom. Boom. Boom.
The depth of this. All those rules and regulations that everybody's been telling you to follow, you... First of all, they ain't rules, they ain't regulations, and they don't have the power or authority to make those rules and regulations, and you do not have to follow them. Man, oh man, oh man, the things that this will undo is like, man, let those lawsuits fly, baby. Hey, Roger, I wonder if I can go back and sue for what they did to me regarding prayer in schools. I wonder if I can go back and sue, because that was an administrative order, right? Huh? Oh yeah, that wasn't no court order. Wonder if I can go sue the what was the name of those scumbags, the ACLU? Wonder if I can. So big news. Cool. Another one. I told you. I'm sorry, it's Independence Day. Yeah, put that in the chat. Jeff Nairs, you wanted to say something earlier. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hang on there. I got more here on Independence Day. Go ahead.
Well, I was going back with Dale's information there. So the question is, so if there was no law that was broken, then what are the punishments actually for?
That's right. Huh? What are they for? So this
can they explain it?
Well, this is chance for appeal, right? And chance for an appeal. Folks, how can there be a federal access to clinic entrances? A law, by the way, a law passed by Congress. How can there be that if there's no right to an abortion? What are you violating? What are they violating? Now, I'm going to say, God bless Cal Zastro and all those guys. None of those guys took a plea deal. None of them took a plea deal. Now, ask yourself this. What does that have to do with the J6ers? Why are those J6ers? What law did the J6ers violate? Cha-ching, right? Oh my goodness, I'm halfway through my commentary this week. I'm so screwed up. I didn't realize today's Thursday. It's due today. I got it halfway done. I'm going to get in the seminar in a second. Come on in, Kevin.
The J6ers, almost all the J6ers have been charged with obstruction of a federal proceeding, which is a rule that was proclamated by bureaucrats.
That's right.
Yeah. Now the Chevron decision and the fact that ATF, IRS, OSHA, EPA, how about truck drivers? How about all the restrictions and stuff that truck drivers have to deal with? All of that stuff is going to be questioned now.
Oh man, oh man, oh man. Huh? I'm telling you, we're winning. But you better know this. That's a caged animal, baby. That government is a caged animal. Do you understand this? We now know that all of that federal bureaucracy is unconstitutional. All those rules and regulations, Department of Education mandating the teaching of lesbianism and transgender. No. Those agencies do not have the legal authority to pass rules and regulations that citizens have to follow. That's what Chevron told us. This is absolutely huge crushing of the left. Huge, huge. Huh? Wow. See, we don't even know the impact of it now. Will the church get involved? See, I said to somebody yesterday, I don't remember who it was. I talked to a lot of people yesterday. The Supreme Court of the United States said there's no right to an abortion. And has anybody heard anything from the local church? Wouldn't you think every local church in America would rise up and end abortion? Wouldn't you think so? Why are they not? Why are they not? How is it that we are so far behind the eight ball through bad education, all that kind of stuff? The commies have taken over government. We're obeying mandates and we're obeying. Oh, come on. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. How long is it going to take the church to wake up and understand? We got liberty. We've been set free, baby. We've been set free, baby. Do you think we realize it? I don't know. I got a couple more stuff here. Then I'll just open it up for some jargon. Go ahead, Dale. You see your hand there.
Yeah. Real quick, Coach. You know, you remember it was the 2 cent sales tax that had the Boston Tea Party where they were throwing the tea overboard. I think the 18 wheelers need to come out with that DEF. That stuff, whatever they're required to put in their tanks, that DEF, and begin to pour that out. Have a DEF party, because our Congress and churches are DEF anyways.
That's right.
So just real quick, throw this out here. In 1 week, the hearing begins in Dearborn, Michigan, for the Michigan trial, and that trial begins August 6th or 7th. So those in the Dearborn, Michigan area that want to go down there and support, and you want to talk about standing alongside some of the heroes of the faith of the 24th.
Yeah, that's why I feel
2024
bad.
Is awesome.
Hey, Dale, you got to tell me this. The courtroom was packed down there, wasn't it, Dale? Did that make a difference for the judge?
Okay, do you want me to tell you, Coach? This is what I'm going to tell you. I prophetically told Rusty, standing by me, I said, look, Rusty, I'm not going to get up there and thus saith the Lord. I'm just going to tell this in your ear to know that it's been bared witness. I stood there and I told him, I said, we were here in January and that storm came through and not only postponed that court, shut that court down for over a week. And people who couldn't get to Tennessee were saying, oh, that's the devil. Oh, my gosh, the devil, man, either. And I turned around and looked at Chet Gallagher that night, and I said, Chet, I said, this is the mercies of God. Amen. to stave off on that judge. We had record high heat there on Tuesday, and we went from the extreme 13 below zero to the extreme heat, and I looked at Rusty. I said, this is God's weight coming down to this. These people are not on trial. I said, this courtroom and that judge is. She better weigh this out carefully. And let me tell you what, Coach, as much as I think she would have loved to lock them all up, I believe the Lord governed that judge's heart.
So Dale, refresh for everybody. When we were down in Nashville 6 months ago, whenever it was, who prayer walked that place? Do you remember? Who prayer walked and staked that place? Well, that would have been Michelle Dobbenmeyer, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, Dale Socia, Abigail Socia, and there was somebody else hanging around there, tagging along with us. Who was that, Dale?
That was Coleman Boyd, his children, and another lady from New Jersey. But yes, Coach. Huh? And Coleman called me that morning.
He's one of the guys in the trial. He's one of the guys that had to go before that judge, and he prayer walked it with us.
We staked it. You remember I grabbed plastic knives from the hotel room. And Coach, it was hilarious because Coleman called me at 7 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't planned. He didn't know what we were doing. He called me up and with the intuition goes, hey, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Coleman, this is what we're doing. He goes, I'm getting in my van and I'll be there. And Coach, oh, by the way, remember that was the one storm they named in Tennessee. You can go and look, and they called it what? Heather. Remember? Heather Idoni.
So Dale, Coleman Boyd was facing 10 years in prison. What did he get? What did he get, Dale?
He got 5 years probation, 6 of the first to be house arrest, and he got a $10,000 fine.
He's a doctor, folks. Did you know that? Dr. Coleman Boyd. Did you know that?
And that's why they hit him with a fine. Coach, you don't think they don't know everything? Let me ask you. This is one of the conversations we had with the attorneys and everything afterwards and on this chat line is that, oh, no, they look at your entire life. They look at your work. They look at your value. They look at your properties, and they realize, oh, he can afford the court cost. And he's got 30 days, Coach, to pay that fine.
I'll be done, huh? By the way, Jack just put something in there. Can we sue to get facial recognition done away with? Is that clearly not a violation of our constitutional right? Oh, we are so winning. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, what's interesting about Michigan, and I just got thinking about that, if that's going to be in Dearborn has the highest Muslim population in the United States. If you could get those folks on your side, because they're against abortion.
Hey.
If you could get those folks on your side and get them to fill the courtroom, I'm telling you what, that'll get their attention.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Hey, so now, folks, listen to this.
My enemy is my friend.
Hey, baby. Listen, I know I'm a helmet head. I went through this battle with the ACLU. I may be dumb, but I'm not as dumb as I look, okay? Here's what I know. When the government issues a false ruling, like, let's say, the separation between the church and the state, it is null and void. Do you understand that, friends? It says any law, any law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. Thank you, Jack. Marbury versus Madison. See if you can find that. All laws contrary to the Constitution are null and void. They can't. The IRS can't make rules. They cannot violate your rights. Marbury versus Madison. Where is it? All laws repugnant. A law repugnant to the Constitution is void. We've known that. We've known it since 1803, and yet we've let them get away making laws, which aren't laws, that are repugnant to the Constitution, right? They cannot make a law saying you can't pray at the football game. They can't do that. You understand? This is so huge. We have to seize upon. Okay, I got something else got to show you here. Man, oh, man, we're so winning. Wait till you read tomorrow's commentary if I get a chance to finish it today. Okay, pull this one up for me. I got this from Bill Federer this morning. You guys know Bill Federer? I get up this morning, William J. Federer, American Minute. I get up this morning and my text message is, Coach Dave, look at this. 5 minutes, you ready? Go ahead.
Investigations, forensics, and so forth, as you go where the facts lead you. You don't, and what you're saying there is where the facts are, is that there was an interagency effort, conspiracy to obstruct federal investigations into election fraud, massive election fraud. And what we had in 2020 was, I could say this today, I think I would have been more circumspect in 2020, but I can say today with great veracity, gravitas, that it was a coup. And Bill Barr was at the center of that coup, among another group called the Council, the SIGI, which includes the Inspector General Horowitz and includes the FBI and deputy directors of the FBI, Christopher Wray now.
Hey, folks, do you understand? We now have proof. We now have evidence of a stolen election. Bill Barr, did you guys know that we went to Bill Barr's house? Do you know that we laid hands on Bill Barr, that he couldn't take the pressure and he resigned? Did you know that? Huh? Oh, yeah. So now we find out that Bill Barr is at the center of a coup to keep Donald Trump from being reelected president. Keep going.
And then it included the U.S. Attorney Generals, which was Barr, then Rose, and now Merrick Garland. So these people are obstructing these investigations. They retaliate against witnesses. We took all the evidence that Leah just mentioned.
Hang on. Folks, this isn't speculation. They have the evidence. They have the goods. with their Freedom of Information Acts, they have discovered emails, texts, all this stuff. They have the goods. Go ahead.
A disclosure with Jim Jordan and the House Judiciary Committee last July. Very, very detailed, substantiated, specific charges and allegations. I think I provided them to Joe's staff last night. I don't know if he has them, but we'll be posting them later today. Most recently, after a three-year investigation, again, that Leah and a group of people that we work with conducted, and in response to court cases, discovery, subpoenas, right to knows, FOIAs, we submitted formal charges to the Pennsylvania Attorney General, who is now Michelle Henry, against Governor Shapiro, who is the former Pennsylvania Attorney General. These are specific criminal charges and violations of USC 18, obstruction of investigations, and collusion and participation in massive election fraud. Those are formal charges that have been filed to her. They were also copied to Jack Smith, who has been charged as special counsel by Merrick Garland to investigate any interference with the transfer of power in 2020, which Governor Shapiro was certainly involved in, and the other bad actors we just mentioned. So Michelle Henry now has a dilemma. She's got formal charges, not only against Governor Shapiro, but the district attorneys here, multiple public officials, law enforcement officers. Former U.S. Attorney General Barr is deeply involved, and she has a duty. She has a duty to investigate. They have prosecutorial discretion, but they have a duty to investigate. They cannot choose not to investigate. She must refer these charges to Jack Smith, who's a special counsel, who's also working on the indictments for Trump. It's quite the mess because it requires both the federal officers and federal agencies and the state agencies, including the Attorney General's office, District Attorney's office, the Inspector General's office. It requires all of them to investigate. And the biggest problem they have is they've had all the documents the entire time. They're their own documents. We use their own emails, their own documents, their own texts. They incriminate all of them. So we have a plan for this, but right now we're sitting here, you know, depending on how they react, but they're in a situation where they now must investigate all the people they were working with, and the evidence is overwhelming. So that's the bombshell, I think. And I think that what will come out of it, people mm-hmm. ask me what will come out of it. And I can say with experience that prison will come out of it. Eventually they will go to prison. This isn't something that's going to be able to be swept aside. Not my first rodeo. Leah's tenacious, and it will eventually result in prison sentences, accountability, and people who stole the election in 2020 and who intend to steal the election in 2024, they will be held accountable and they will be stopped.
Boom! Boom! Now, hang on. This is what I'm writing about tomorrow. Pull up for me, if you could. Number five. Friends, I want you to think about this a minute. Dereliction of duty. Everybody takes an oath. Does anybody know what the oath is? Pull that back up for me, Spencer. Look for that real quickly. Oath of office. It could be federal. It doesn't matter. Everybody takes an oath of office. So what is it? What's the oath of office of the U.S. Senate? What's their oath of office? See if it tells us here. Somewhere it all tells. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office of which I'm about to enter. So help me God. All right. They swore duty. So what it says? They swore, affirm, and defend. Huh? I do solemnly swear. Okay. Pull up dereliction of duty. Dereliction is the abandonment of a thing, a person, or obligation. Dereliction of personal property is the abandonment of such property, making the property derelict and open to potential salvers. Dereliction of duty is a person's purposeful or accidental failure to perform, purposeful or accidental failure to perform an obligation without a valid excuse, especially an obligation attached to their job. In 1991, U.S. Court of Military Appeals case, U.S. versus Powell, the court stated that a person is guilty of the offense of dereliction of duty when he or she willingly or negligently fails to perform his or her duties, or by performing such duties in culpable, inefficient manner. The court noted that work done in a culpably inefficient manner is when there's no reason or just excuse for the inefficiency. Vinny, can you do a boom? Do you guys have any idea how much we ought to be hanging House of Representatives? We ought to be hanging.
Boom.
Huh? We ought to be locking them up. We ought to be locking up every elected official who refused to do their duty to what? Protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And you know what I'm writing about tomorrow, which I hope to get it done today? Are you looking at me? They all knew. They all knew. Boom. All 535 members of Congress, they all knew, man. They knew Biden was decrepit. They knew it. At least half of them, maybe more. They knew the election was stolen. They knew it. They knew it. But they didn't care. Why? Dereliction of duty. Oh, it says, look, wait a minute. Negligently fail to perform their duty. Negligently. That's why, friends, that's why J6 happened, so those guys could run and not do their duty. That was devised by Pelosi. I would build the gallows for Nancy Pelosi. Would anybody help me? Huh? Folks, you understand the severity of this? You understand? Dereliction of duty. They ought to be lined up. We ought to be lining them up. All 530. Hey, look, are you looking at me? I'm going to use a bad word, okay? I knew Joe Biden was shit in his pants. You mean to tell me the senators didn't know it? You mean to tell me the House of Representatives, they didn't know it? You mean to tell me the FBI didn't know it? You mean to tell me Merrick Garland didn't know it? You mean to tell me, pick whoever, didn't know it? Jack Smith didn't know it? You want me to believe? Hey, wait a minute. You want me to tell me Joe Scarborough didn't know it? Anderson Cooper didn't know it? You want me to believe that? You want me to believe that? They didn't know? It's dereliction of duty. Gino, come on in.
Yeah, I want to just throw something at y'all to think about. This oath of office, what oath are they taking to what constitution? He says he took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, not the United States of America. They've changed things on us, and they've thrown sheets over our eyes, and we think of one thing, and they're doing another.
Well, in fact, Gino, we're finding out that many of them didn't even take an oath. There's no record they took an oath, right?
If they haven't taken an oath,
amen, to the Gene.
United States of America, they don't have an oath.
Oh, I think they're in trouble. Oh, no, no. I think that's under the color of law. Oh, no, no. I think they're in serious trouble. Huh? But you know why they get away with it, Gino? Because we don't hold them accountable.
That's right.
You took an oath? You took a fake oath?
Yep.
You took a faith oath? Fake oath? They ain't going to maybe hide behind that one. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I think we got a way to pay off the national debt here, bud. We could auction off or raffle off, I'm sorry, the opportunity to pull the lever on the gallows. And, I mean, we could pay off the national debt.
We could, Jack. We could.
Hey, and huh? I got a question for you, a real question. For the legal beagles here, if you take an oath to a document that you've never even laid eyes on, is that perjury?
Good question. Huh? Good question.
Well, on the local level, at the state level, I confront state representatives all the time with the Constitution of Maine in my hand, and I ask them if they've ever seen this. And 80-something percent of the time, they've never laid eyes on it, let alone read it.
Yep,
so I highlight it, underline it, hand it to them. Here you go, buddy. Read this.
Dereliction of duty, baby. We got them on dereliction of duty. Jeff, come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I'm having fun with this. I'm selling them flags again, the Trump flags. People are starting to roll in the car lot and buy them.
All right.
But you know something I got is that last 4 years ago, the 2020 election, I had them hats, the Trump hats with 2020 on it. I still, after that, I had like six dozen of them left. And after the election, I thought, what am I going to do with all these? So I just kept them. Now I am selling them for half off. I said, listen, you want a keepsake of the election they stole? And I show the people the hats. I said, these other ones are 20, but these keepsakes you'll hand down to your grandchildren once they figure this out, that this election was stolen. These hats can be worth something. These people are loving it. It's amen. Like, I'll get you one of these 2020 hats. I'll give you one. You can keep holding.
Amen. So look.
Sales to the end.
Here's the thing, folks. Are we going to make sure our representatives enforce the law? Are we going to make it do it? That's why all politics becomes local again. Huh? Jim Jordan is derelict of duty. He goes out and barks and barks and barks. Do you guys think Jim Jordan knows that Joe Biden's crapping his pants? Does anybody think he knows that?
Amen.
Do you think Jim Jordan, who's head of the Judiciary Committee, doesn't know that Obama's behind the government? Do you think Jim Jordan doesn't know that, friends? You think he doesn't know that? We're going to let him off because he's a good guy. He's a Republican. Really? Huh? Merrick Garland? Are you kidding me? Do you understand what Merrick Garland's putting Cal Zastro through? Coleman Boyd? Bill Dunphy? Those J6ers? Anybody have any idea what they're putting them through? Oh, yeah. They all know.
Hey, Coach. I think it made the Republican committee mad. They come in because remember last election, they bought a bunch of them hats and flags from me. They come in to do this again. I told them, I said, listen, I showed them Pastor Bill's picture. I said, the J6. And I told them, I said, listen, where's Jim Jordan and J.D. Vance? I said, them two men are worthless. They are doing nothing to help with this pastor here in Ohio. They haven't come back.
By the way, Jeff, it's dereliction of duty, isn't it?
Yep. So I told
them. Don't they have an obligation to protect Bill Dunphy from the government?
Amen.
Huh? Don't they? Come on, folks. Get on this horse and let's ride this horse. Dave Allison. Come on in, Dave. Hey, Dave. Look, I know they're watching right now. I know the FBI and all their cronies are watching right now. I know they are. And what they want to do more than anything is they want to violate my right to free speech. They want to make sure that you guys don't hear what I'm talking about, right? They want to make sure that you don't hear it. So what are they going to do? I don't know. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, so as we're talking here, a thought came to my mind. As you've known, across the country, the pro-abortionists have making constitutional amendments to every state, right? But the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of my religion.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, so now I cannot take a political position in my state, because when I do, I have to swear allegiance to the Constitution, which states that women have the right to kill their baby, and that violates my religious conviction.
Dave, come on, Dave. These guys, Cal Zastro and these guys, they're living out their faith to rescue those children. That's a violation of their God-given right, isn't it, folks?
Amen. So my point is, if I'm a political elected position in my state, then I have a right to challenge that new law based upon the First Amendment and take that to the Supreme Court. And if one of these people could take it to the Supreme Court and get the Supreme Court to act and say that's a violation of my Constitution, then that would then invalidate all these laws that Planned Parenthood is rushing through the whole country to get passed. And so that's my opinion, I think we have an opportunity here to get an elected official to challenge that law in court and go to the Supreme Court.
So, Dave, here's I'm not making light of what you're saying, right? I'm not making light. The right to freedom of religion and freedom of expression is inalienable. They can make, Congress shall make no law. Period. Period. Free exercise of your faith. It is impossible for one citizen to violate the constitutional rights of another citizen. Why? Because I don't have the authority to do that. You want to murder your baby? You can go murder your baby, but I have the right to show up and try to stop you from murdering your baby. Free exercise of our faith, folks. Let some court tell me what I can do and what I can't do. I can read and I can think. Kevin.
All right. Well, I was going to bring up the work that Todd Callender and his team did uncovering the fact that most of these people haven't either taken an oath of office or they've improperly taken it. Okay. So right. The document is fraudulent. Okay. So it seemed to them, the more they got into it, and this went from federal all the way down to state and county. I mean, everybody was on the list. Okay. And it kind of, it appeared to them that they were almost doing it as a self-protection so that they couldn't be charged with treason. Okay. Yeah. The crime that they had actually committed was impersonating a public official. Okay. Mm. So let me ask you this. If that's the case and they're actually impersonating a public official, wouldn't that render null and void any bill that they had signed or passed? Or even if a judge had passed judgment on something, wouldn't that nullify it if he hasn't taken an oath?
It would sure seem so to me, right?
Right. So, I mean, it would be like me stealing your checkbook and signing Dave Dobenmeyer to the check and cashing it for $500. Is that proper? No. You know what I mean? I'm impersonating Dave Dobenmeyer. Doesn't that nullify that? I mean, you know, so it's same thing. If I'm a congressman or whatever, and I haven't actually taken that oath and I put my name to a law or bill and passed it, wouldn't that nullify that bill? It's fraud.
Amen. That's right. It's fraud. That's what we're dealing with. Hey, listen to this. I just got this from Dale Socha. Are you ready? Are you ready? We're so winning. Randy, keep staking. Folks, keep staking. I talked to Glenn yesterday. We have to take this more seriously here in Ohio. We have to do it. This is what the prosecutor recommended for sentencing with the Tennessee 10. You ready? Number one. Cal Zastro, the prosecution recommended 27 months in jail on count one, 6 months of jail on count two, to run concurrently 3 years of supervised release and no fine. So they wanted Cal Zastro to serve, they wanted him to serve almost 3 years in jail. The judge said 6 months. Denny Green. They wanted 15 months of incarceration. 4 months of incarceration on count two to run concurrently. 3 years of supervised release and no fine. What did he get? House arrest. Coleman Boyd. They wanted 15 months imprisonment on count one. 4 months imprisonment on count two to run concurrently. 3 years of supervised release and no fine. Paul Vaughn. They wanted a year and a day of incarceration on count one, 3 months of incarceration on count two to run concurrently, 3 years of supervised release and no fine. You know why, friends? Because the Bible says the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Say what you want. Okay, look, I'm about out of time. Pull up for me number seven. Number seven, I just wanted to kind of shift gears here on you. You don't get this kind of show anywhere, huh? Thank you, Brideon, for giving us another platform. John Rappaport, I like John Rappaport. He says, take these disasters, pesticide. We talked about this yesterday, didn't we? What's making people gay? What's making people transgender? Is it the pesticides? Is it the stuff they're spraying? Is it the stuff we're eating? Take these disasters, pesticides that disrupt hormone levels, plastics everywhere, chemicals and dead processed foods, infant formula replacing breast milk, vaccines that disrupt and shed the immune system. Then researchers come along. They take the symptoms that these disasters create and then cluster them in groups and put medical labels on them. So they give them a name called ADHD. They call it depression. They call it bipolar. They call it gender dysphoria. They just give names, right? But when it comes to disruption of the immune system from pesticides, plastics, no breast milk, dead processed food, look at the boggling list of immune system diseases that the medical system has invented. Are you ready? Rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus erythematosus, multiple sclerosis, type 1 diabetes mellitus, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, Graves' disease, psoriasis, celiac disease, Jorgen's syndrome, myasthenia gravis, immunodeficiency such as severe combined immunodeficiency, common variable immunodeficiency, chronic granulomatous disease, X-linked agammaglobulinemia, Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome, hyper-IgM syndrome, DeGeorge syndrome, human immunology deficiency virus, HIV, leading to acquired immunodeficiency, syndrome, AIDS, hypersensitivities. We now have allergic rhinitis, it's hay fever, asthma, anaphylaxis, atopic dermatitis, eczema, food allergies. We have contact dermatitis, other conditions, inflammatory bowel disease, including Crohn's disease, and ulcerative colitis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, dermatomyositis, scleroderma. These guys really know how to label, don't they? You see, these are the experts. They then can cluster and carve up symptoms and come up with medical names from here to the horizon. They can resist any attempt to see how pesticides or infant formula or processed foods are the actual causes, realities. You can see why. For every disease label, there are drugs. Medical treatments. Treatments and drugs equal big bucks. Plus, control over the lives of the patients. And there's a much longer list than the one I just published above. It's a total of diseases based on viruses that don't exist. All of them brought to you by the label kings. If you were a greedy young psychopath starting out in the world today, I would major in communications at a prestigious college and write a thesis entitled 100 Ways to Recycle Death and label it with many disease names. With that thesis in hand, I would land a very nice starting position with one of the target pharmaceutical companies in the world. And they would see my value immediately. Now consider a doctor's point of view. A patient comes in with complaints. The doctor can listen, run a few tests, slap a disease label, and prescribe a drug. Or he can say, looks to me like pesticide poisoning. I don't know what to do about it. I don't have a remedy that takes the poison out of your body. But he wouldn't say that if you had him in chains and were beating him with a club. If he had that degree of honesty, he'd be out of the business pretty quick. And eventually, he'd find himself in front of a state medical board trying to keep his license. Sherry Timpenny, Paul Goslin. The board idiots and sold-out quacks would rather rake him over the coals. Why not take easy road instead? He closes his eyes, throws an imaginary dart at an imaginary dartboard, and comes up with a disease name that the patient has never heard of. Why, This is what you've got, he says to the patient. We have a course of treatment for it. Let's begin. And so they do. On the long march to nowhere. Vinny.
Boom.
Huh? Is that it, folks? Or is that it, huh? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. We are waking up every day. By the way, Spence, put this in the chat. Put it in the chat. Oh, I better show you this real quickly before I go here. I don't want to miss out on this one. Pull up number 6 for those of you who don't know. Pull up number 6. By the way, dereliction of duty, uniform military code. Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah, Randy. Fraud vitiates everything, the Supreme Court ruled. In the disciplined world of military, every action and inaction. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say for you to know to do good and not to do it? Didn't Jesus say inaction was a sin? Inaction was a violation of the law. Didn't Jesus say that? I think he did. In the disciplined world of military, every action and inaction carries weight. Dereliction of duty under the Uniform Code of Military Justice is a term you might have heard, but what does it truly mean for those in uniform? This isn't just about failing to show up. It's a matter that can have serious consequences impacting careers and lives. Understanding the nuances of dereliction of duty is crucial. Whether you're serving, have served, or are simply intrigued by military law, this article will guide you through the complexity of dereliction of duty, shedding light on what it entails, the process involved, and potential repercussions. With a clear picture, you'll grasp why maintaining the highest standards of conduct is not just expected, but essential in the military. By the way, that is a Christian ethic. Put that in the chat as well. Randy, you got 3 minutes.
Coach, that the Supreme Court case, 1878, they ruled in the United States versus Throckmorton. Here's what it says, Coach. This is it. There is no question of the general doctrine that fraud vitiates, does away with the most solemn contracts, documents, and even judgments. Coach, that's in everything. It's not just in the law. It's in everything. So it's in the medical. It's in everything where fraud is doing, when it's winning. If we will stand up with the law, the truth, against it, then it pushes back and it challenges it and it goes down. But
we are
the challengers. We are challenging all the fake law, precedent law that's been fake.
That's right.
Law, and this is what's happening. They're relenting. And
they
the truth is coming back. It's because we are challenging it and standing there, going to the courts, standing up for abortion or death. Against death, this is what's turning it all. Just a few people are changing the whole course.
They are, and you're one of them, Randy. By the way, Spencer, pull up quickly for me Webster's, and let's look at vitiates. Fraud vitiates everything. Vitiate. Fraud, to ensure the substance or qualities of a thing. So to impair, to render defective. To destroy as the validity or binding force of an instrument or transaction. Any undue influence exerted on a jury vitiates the verdict. Fraud vitiates a contract.
Now, Dave, quickly, if you can, pull up the definition of fraud and read that.
Fraud, deceit, deception, trick. artifice by which the right or interest of another is injured, a stratagem intended to obtain some undue advantage, an attempt to gain or the obtaining of an advantage over another by imposition or immoral means, particularly deceptive in contracts or bargains and sales, either by stating falsehoods or suppressing truth. Dudes! Independence Day, baby! Independence Day. Enjoy it. See you tomorrow.